Hi, I want to welcome you to Raising Playful Tots. My name's Melissa. I hope this show is a place where mothers like you can safely explore a slower, simpler, and playful lifestyle so that you can get to the heart of what your family needs to thrive both now and in the years to come. By the end of the show, you'll have 5 ideas you can use on how to have a better time with family games night. Number 1, put it on the schedule. If it's not on the family calendar, it doesn't happen. We have a whiteboard for the month. It might be a Google calendar for you or a print calendar. Find a time far enough in advance and put it on. This gives everyone a chance to make an effort to be there. Too early and ask, and we have things there, and maybe we just want a rest. So it just doesn't happen. I was listening to Inspiring Mamas podcast this week, episode 21, and Lauren had a guest talking about mothers getting exercise. Her big tip also was to get on the schedule too. She had all sorts of great nuggets for finding time and energy to work out. Our family progress happens best when we schedule it, but it does seem funny to schedule a family, but it works. Number 2, don't make it bigger than it needs to be. When you say family games night, a deep chill runs down our backs because we wonder how on earth are we going to entertain our toddlers, our preschoolers, our middle schoolers, all our kids for a whole night doing a family game. Or you're thinking, within 5 minutes of any game, my kids are bickering so much that someone stomps off, hits the other one, or turns over the game. Yes, I've been there too. Why does it have to be a whole night? Can it be a family game, i.e. one game? Can you have 5 rounds on the board and then we call it quits? This is especially good for games that are prone to go on and on for long hours. Playing the short version spares us all and keeps the good feelings going. Traditional families try to do this on a Friday, have a games night. Aren't we all beat and tired then? So I get that we don't actually want to do it on a Friday, but we're also cranky and perhaps the kids are certainly too. Change the day, maybe a Thursday or a Sunday to start the week well, or have it one afternoon. Basically, keep it simple for your family and don't make it bigger than it needs to be. Number 3, tailor it to your children's ages. I think this more than anything derails a family games night. Finding the right games for the right ages of the children that you have. Recently, the older boys have really been enjoying Ticket to Ride, Axis and Allies, a Star Wars game with their dad, and Settlers of Catan. All these games take hours to play and are a lot of fun. But the youngest has no interest in spending more than 30 minutes on playing anything, which is quite normal for his age. His best move is to move all the pieces when people aren't paying attention, and that causes tension and frustration all around. He wanted to play to start with, so we gave him the chance to pick who he'd buddy up with, but of course, naturally, he was moving extra pieces, inventing new rules, giving extra money to help out his brothers, and causing mayhem. Now we have a different slant. We want him to be involved, we want to be involved, and we want to still be able to play together as a family. If we're playing these longer games, then my husband or I will play a shorter set of games at the same time with him. You've seen those chess players with dual games going on at the same time? Okay, that's not us, but it's similar. As the others are having their turn, and it can take a while to figure out where you're gonna go, how you're gonna do it, we play the other game with the youngest. In fact, it's more like we play it the other way around. We play with the youngest, and the others call our attention when it's time to play the other longer game. So the little one is with us and not off with a screen or feeling left out or causing mayhem and destruction somewhere. We're still together, working together as a family and having fun. The older ones are learning how to be inclusive. Yes, it slows the game down and often you'll need a recap of perhaps where they've just all moved, but it's the price we pay as a family to stay together. We've collected a group of these games, so when we have these longer games about to start, out comes this complimentary box of a few of these little shorter games that we can play together. You have to adapt, have regular talks to your older child about fair play, allowing winning and losing fairly, as well as the frustrations that they find playing with younger siblings. You'll have your own family rules about how to win gracefully and lose that way, as well as crushing your opponent and supporting them. Encourage them to share their strategy and play some games, not to win, but to teach. For the youngest, it's no fun losing all the time. Losing sometimes brings out the cheat in many kids, and sometimes they just don't realize that you can't do that. Again, having a talk with them regularly too, and playing to teach. So playing games that you know no one's really going to win, you're actually teaching them how to play. It's amazing how if we listen and we actually play these games with the kids to teach them how to do it, we can often get to the bottom of these problems. We like to win games like any family, and we believe though that we need to share winning and losing at home so we know how to do it. Sportsmanship starts in the home. Shaking hands after a win or a loss, complimenting the winner and accepting the compliment, letting it drop when you've lost and not letting it spoil everything that comes after. All these are character building things, and these things happen during a games night. These are your family growing. I just want to take a moment to talk to you about the Simple Parenting and Play Planner. It's a workbook, planner, and calendar that helps you plan your activities together as a family for now and your future. What I have is a system that supports you where you are right now and gives you some guilt-free focus to grow your family further into what you want it to be. The first step is creating a family haven. The difference with this planner is there's space for spouses to dream, plan, write, and act together or alone, and there's a space for children and parents to come together, dream, plan, write, and act. It's a planner for the whole family and a planner for you. You can make a real difference to how your family runs. It's a planner for parents who want to give their dreams and plans wheels and wings. I have a page in this planner that's right for family night ideas. And the topic we're talking about today, games night, is a good addition to the plan. Plan it, schedule it, find time for it this year. It's time. To find out more about the Simple Parenting and Play Planner, go to raisingplayfultots.com/SPPP. We've had three so far. We've had put it on the schedule, don't make it bigger than it needs to be, and three, tailor it to your children's ages. So number four, find like-minded friends. Not everyone likes games. Probably for the last two things that I mentioned. If you're new to playing games or you're a lover of games, then keep talking about games with your friends. It's a good chance to swap notes about tactics, learn new skills, be introduced to new games, and learn new ways of playing the game you've always played one way. You can get together and have a family gathering. We're going to be doing that this weekend with other families who want to play games. If you're not into games, but you have children then finding a place where they can get their fill of gameplay is really valuable. You need to find parents like us who love to play games, and you can bring your kids around and they can play games with them. There's no need to feel bad because you can't face another three rounds of apples to apples, but if you know a family who love to play games, your child can get their fill there too. Playdates are also a really good time for game time introduction. Introducing different games to friends makes a really valuable skill for the kids. There are many different types of games, and remembering not to get stuck with your pet peeve, but keep going and trying different games all the time. There'll always be some games that you just don't like, you don't get on, and that's okay. Move on, there are plenty of other different types of games. To flatten the chance of the older ones winning all of the time, why not encourage more games of luck and chance? Games like Shut the Box. The younger ones have a chance. The games of strategy reserved for when you can sit with them and play them together. Of course, all this depends on your child. The boys in my family love strategy games and games of chance. They are always trying to tip the favor in their direction. Nothing is better than hearing the older ones say that they don't want to play a certain game because their younger brother always beats them. To have the tables turned is a wonderful empathy skill that doesn't always easily come up, And I must say, it doesn't come up much here too, but it's funny how you can have a run of good luck, and that's good for the little ones too. Be a fan of moderating and modifying the rules too. So saying things like, let's have three rounds only, or the youngest always goes first. Stack the odds in the favor who needs help and support sometimes. Number five, read how-tos and reviews online via video before you buy and learn how to play. When you read the instructions that come with the box, do you end up reading and reading and reading and then putting it back on the shelf because it's just way too complicated? Well, we did that for the longest time until a friend introduced us to the world of reviews online. Whatever the game, you can probably find a review for that and how other people have played it. Sometimes finding the same problems that you have and now there's a solution. But the best has been watching how new games are set up and how these games are played. I think we watched the Settlers of Catan video on YouTube twice, then played for the first time for 6 hours. There's no way we could have understood so quickly unless we had had a look. The game itself isn't that complicated. It's just that you have to understand and be completely immersed in how all the different words and the different ways in which they do things. Now for every game we buy, we go there first, to YouTube, to see, hear, and then buy it. Once we've bought it, we'll likely watch a session or two. We don't have to be defeated by the instructions anymore. This year, in 2015, we're focusing on family flow and our family atmosphere. And so far, we've looked at these five tips today, all to do with a family games night. So the first thing we looked at was put it on a schedule. Then we looked at don't make it bigger than it needs to be. The third thing we looked at was tailor it to your children's ages. The fourth thing, find like-minded friends. Number five, read the how-tos and reviews online via video before you buy and to learn how to play. Going through these five tips will help you in your quest to support your family game sessions so that it will work for your family. We like to keep things simple, but above all, we like to tailor things to our family. The story and the joy that comes from laughing and playing games with the family will last you for ages. Don't let the bad previous experiences spoil your joy. Whether you have an afternoon or whether you have 5 minutes of some family gameplay, why not take a snap and share it on Instagram or Twitter? Tag me at PlayActivities. I'd love to see what you're playing and doing. One last thing. Kids need to learn how to fail, and the kindest way is within the warmth of the family. We're that soft place where they can be upset, mad, and frustrated. And if this stops gameplay, then so be it. Kids need to learn to win. And if you have to stop gameplay because the celebrations get a bit too much, so be it. Our family values are caught, not taught, but we all have our bad days. Not all the time will we tilt the favor, as what will that teach them? We have to let them fly too, and that will sometimes mean that they fail. I guess the tension for us is knowing when to encourage, when to intervene, and when to let them fly. For the show notes to this show, visit raisingplayfultots.com/168. That's the number 168. This week, I've been working on speech number 8 from my Toastmasters manual for public speaking. So I've had a fun time practicing speaking and my voice is a little croaky because of it. I just spoke last night and it was both nerve-wracking and exhilarating using props and being able to talk for 5 to 7 minutes without any notes. It's the one way this week I gave time back to myself, and you don't forget to do something for you too. Thanks for being here today. I know that there are many things that you could be doing right now, and I'm glad you've chosen to be here today. I hope something I've said has triggered you to investigate something more and help you make a decision for your wonderful family. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving a rating or review on Stitcher or iTunes. I'd really appreciate it. There's a full archive of shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows, where we have shows on positive parenting, time management for busy mums, Steiner and Waldorf play, everyday sensory alphabet activities, sensory play, family mission statements, experiencing play from a diversity perspective, and raising a playful tot while travelling around the world. Check them out for specific subjects too. See you again next time. You've been listening to show number 168. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.